Good morning. So far we've seen some of the young people using their talents, and now I'm just going to share a little bit about how God has worked through me using my talents during my first year at university. And to help us think through what our talents are and how we can use them, we'll be looking at the parable of the talents in Matthew 25. Okay, so just so you know, when I've nearly finished, so you don't fall asleep or anything, this is where the talk is going to go now. So we'll think about Jesus and our talents, how we can use our talents, and then we'll think a little bit about God and risk-taking, which I'll explain more about a bit later. So in the parable of talents, Jesus has been talking to his disciples about when he's coming back. So this is just before he is crucified. He speaks to his disciples about what it will be like when he returns. So in Matthew 24:26, he says, "But about the day or hour when he returns, nobody knows about that." And to illustrate what that will be like, he tells three parables. The first parable is about 10 women who are waiting for a bridegroom to turn up. They have to wait a long time, and in the end, only 5 of them are actually ready. But the second parable, the parable of the talents, shows what we need to do to be ready, what that looks like. So we'll have a bit more of a look at that now. So the parable of the talents is where is a story where a master goes away and he gives his servants talents, which are a large sum of money, to look after for him. So people think that someone with 5 talents of gold would be a multimillionaire today, so that's quite a lot of money. In the story, the master represents Jesus, but not perfectly, because this is only a story. So the master represents Jesus, and the servants, the 3 servants in the story, represent us, his disciples. So what do these servants do? Well, the first two servants use the talents that they're given, and they're rewarded because of that. But the third servant doesn't, and is punished. So we'll take a closer look now at what the three servants do or don't do, and there are 3 main things that we can take away from that. So each of the servants was given talents according to their ability. And we've seen that we all have gifts and abilities, as verses that Charlotte and Hannah read show. So we all have gifts and abilities. It seems like some people have lots, and it seems like some people only have a few. But we all have them, and they're all important. So I thought that my talent, my ability, was to help people who were already Christian. So that's why when I got asked to help lead the Christian Union's small group in my halls at university, that's why I said yes to do that next year, because that's what I thought my talent was. And that's been really good. I noticed that the servants were given their talents according to their ability, which means that, in a sense, the talents represent The talents represent opportunities rather than the abilities, because they're given according to ability. So someone has an ability and they're given opportunities to use those. And we'll take a bit more of a look at that now. So the first thing is that the talents are opportunities for us, which means that although the good and faithful servants are given lots of talents, to make use of the talents they're given, the opportunities that they're given, they still have to take a risk. Now, if you have any investments or anything, you know that investing in the world is dangerous. And as the thing says down there, the value of investments can go down as well as up. But with God, there's not the same level of risk, as I found out this year. So the Christian Union have a mission called Acts 17, which which is quite scary. It's based on Acts 17:17, where Paul reasoned in the synagogue with Jews and God-fearing Greeks, but he also went into the marketplace each day and talked to the people who happened to be there. So in Exeter University, we have a place called the Forum, which means the marketplace. And what happens is that people from the Christian Union go into the Forum from Monday to Thursday for an hour and ask people questions like, what are you living life for? Or like this, what's the biggest problem in the world? So we go around with a whiteboard and ask them. And this was exactly the kind of thing I didn't feel cut out to do. I didn't feel my talent or my gift was to do that. So for most of the year, I didn't do this because it just seemed so scary and really not for me. But in this last term, they needed people to help do this because in exams times, the people who normally do it sort of had exams and things. So I felt God sort of prompted me to go and see if it really was that scary. And to start with, it was. So it was quite scary, but I was surprised actually by how open people were. People really wanted to think about these questions and had questions of their own that they wanted answering. And so it was just really good to be able to talk to people about that. So, for example, over 2 days when I was doing it with some other people, we managed to talk to 13 people about the gospel, which is just really good. And we were able to do that right in the middle of the university, which is really cool. But obviously I know that not everyone goes to Exeter and not everyone can do something like Acts 17. So I thought I'd talk a bit more about kind of more everyday risk-taking. So it seems a bit like what's up on the screen behind me, that Christians don't really talk about their faith. So we go to church on Sunday, but we don't necessarily tell anyone very much about it. And I know I didn't when I went to school. I didn't really talk to anyone much about going to church or anything like that. But my question really is, why? There isn't really a good reason why. It's just, I suppose, because we have to take a risk in going and talking to people about our faith, that they might be quite against it. But I found out kind of in my first year at university that really people are quite open to talking about faith, or at least hearing what you have to say. And that's what they're most interested in, really. They're most interested in what you have to say, how it's affected you, and what kind of a difference it makes to you. But those conversations only ever happened because I took a risk. But the thing is that it involves something like this. So taking a risk for a big God, like we were just singing about. And really, the risk that we take in talking to people during the week about our faith isn't all that great, because God wants us to take a risk to tell people. And if we do that, then he'll be there for us, to support us, to give us the words to say. So really, what I would encourage you to do this week would be to take a risk for God. So what we see is that in the parable is that being ready for Jesus to come back involves more than just twiddling our thumbs like the third servant did. And although not talking about our faith or not making use of the opportunities that we have is really easy. It's really easy to sit there and not do anything or not say anything. As we see with the third servant who gets punished for not doing anything, that's also the most dangerous option. So it means that, yeah, this week I'd really like to encourage you to take a risk for God. It doesn't have to be a big risk. It could just be saying, when someone asks you, what did you do at the weekend, saying, I went to church. And it can just be that simple. But thinking about doing that is a lot scarier than actually doing it. So I'd encourage you to have a go.